of the show, a weekly slot in which we look at matters in our continent. Following the 2021 military coup led by Colonel Mamadi Doumbouya in Guinea, dissent and opposition has faded due to a severe crackdown on opposition figures, civil society and independent media. The military junta's repressive measures include the banning of protests, the arrest and disappearance of political opponents, and the silencing of critical media outlets. Doesn't look too good. Online is Thelma Nyahi, researcher at the Democracy Development Program and a PhD designer student at UCT. Thelma Nyahi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, and good afternoon to everyone.
Now, looking at the situation in Guinea, the coup occurs in 2021. In 2024, things really start to get bad, and it looks like Guinea is following the slippery slope that so many countries around the world have when a military junta promises gold and delivers lead. What's your take?
I mean, yeah, I do certainly agree with that kind of like view. I mean, considering from the time of 2021, just days after the coup d'etat, they had promised, the junta had actually promised that they wouldn't actually run for presidency. And yet, 4 years down the line, we're seeing a reversal of those words. So it's quite concerning how, when it comes to the constitution, most countries, and it seems to be a trend that's, going across the world, where the constitution is just a paper that can easily be manipulated as a way of really just serving the elite.
I mean, last year, 2024, was a bad year for Guinea. Reports say that something like 50 political parties were suspended, and even big opposition parties were, to all intents and purposes, put out of business. And I was thinking of a comparison in South Africa. Imagine if tomorrow somebody says for the upcoming municipal elections, okay, all parties are banned except for one. People would be upset. And yet Guinea is looking at the situation where it's almost like the room is being cleaned of everything else except the military junta.
Certainly. And I think it goes back to that idea of how, you know, certain countries would literally use the legal system, the very system that you would think would be fair and just, and yet manipulated as a way of basically just serving their own interests. And in that year, 2024, a political audit had been released. But the funny part was it was only targeting the political parties, the other political parties, and not necessarily looking at the junta itself. And through that, they were suspended. And it seemed like it's a legal framework of basically suspending them. But at the end of the day, it is basically just leading up to the week that we're in, where this coming Sunday, where they are voting on the constitutional referendum. If not for those things, actually, it would have been a different kind of like result. But because of those things, because of the planned ways of basically just manipulating the procedures, manipulating the preferences of the public, manipulating the public voice or the public advocacy, it basically leads us to a point where we might actually just see them winning this constitutional referendum without actually any contest.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of commentators surrounding Guinea are asserting that the idea of these constitutional changes, which will make way for an election that they hope to have by the end of this year, is to ensure that a coup leader, that the general who actually was in charge of the coup, that he himself can now stand as the eternal president of Guinea in the elections.
And in addition to that, the term of the president has also been increased from just 5 years to 7. And when it comes to the number of times that a president can basically hold terms, it's been increased to 2. So you get to see how all of this is basically just a planned agenda to basically just take over the country without actually considering what the citizens' voice actually says within the matter.
Yeah, I mean, the general is, to all intents and purposes, creating himself a job that will last for at least 14 years. That's nearly 20 years. I'd love to have a job where I've got a 14-year contract. That's not too bad, but looks like he's signing his own contract for this.
Definitely. And, you know, I was just reading up on this idea of, like, referendums across the world. And when you think about it, it seems like a legal perspective or a legal way or a just way, a democratic way of kind of like dealing with constitutional changes, whether it's a matter of suggesting a new constitution altogether or amending the constitution that's there. And in as much as it seems like it's a means of basically involving the public to basically bring forth their voice on something, it still can be manipulated. That whole process can still be manipulated, whether it's in the form of, you know, the procedures themselves. And we see this with the case of Guinea, where when it came to the opposition party leaders, they were basically suspended. There were also alleged kind of like reports of kidnapping, of violence when it came to anyone who was participating in political dissent. And already that kind of behavior ideally shapes the public's voice or the public's choice when it comes to what should they actually vote for. So it's not necessarily a matter of choice, but a matter of basically doing what the junta basically needs or requires from the public itself.
Indeed. And I mean, the constitution, which has been redrafted, most adjectives that describe the process use the word opaque, which is a very nice way of saying things were very unclear, if not biased. So, again, I mean, the people of Guinea, I'm sure you'd agree, have a gun held to their head, because do you vote in the referendum or do you not? And what happens if the population stays away and doesn't vote, but if they vote no and it's already rigged? So, I mean, the citizens of Guinea are onto a hiding here, aren't they? They're not going to win this one, it seems.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And I mean, when you look at the region itself, just 2 years back, Chad did the same thing. They had a constitutional referendum and they won it. And the president was put. The junta was literally elected as the president. So it seems like it might be a trend that basically takes root within that region, where even with the other junta-led countries, the same may actually apply over the years.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have a new political organization, not the organization of African Union or the Union of Juntas or something, the way things are going.
You might actually find that happening.
Who knows? And your final comment, where do you think Guinea is going to go? Because this situation is not going to last, obviously, because people are not going to accept forever being ruled by a quasi-military junta. It just never works.
Now, this definitely might be the case, considering with the way, you know, the JNZ protests has basically taken flair within the entire world. We might actually see, well, in terms of what's happening this coming Sunday, definitely people will go out to vote, because I mean, they've been told to actually go and vote. So they might vote. The junta might actually win that constitutional referendum. But in terms of the years that follow, we might find that the citizens themselves might actually come to a place where they literally say enough is enough, whether it means taking their lives, but literally fight for a cause. For, you know, the next generation. There could be a situation where unrest is definitely something that's not necessarily being fixed by the constitutional referendum, but it might be something that's continuing even after the elections, even after certain terms or certain years within, you know, under the leadership of the junta itself. So violence is definitely going to be a streak, unfortunately, the way I see it. Continuing throughout.
Yeah, sad and bad times for Guinea. at the moment. And of course, on that note, unfortunately, we have to end this week's editions of the African Mirror. Today, our guest was Thelma Nyahi, researcher at the Democracy Development Program. Thelma, as always, it's been great chatting.